The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Citrus Bowl Day here on the Leach Report. It is game day for the Wildcats for the final time this season, and the setting could not be better. It is a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky here in Orlando. Temperature is going to be in the 80s for Kentucky and Penn State. Wildcats number 14 in the last college football playoff poll. Penn State number 12. They'll meet for the first time in 20 years, for the sixth time ever today, and it'll kick at 1 o'clock. Coverage on the UK network with the pregame show will get started at 11. I'm here in our broadcast booth at the stadium as we come to you for our show today, which is served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we'll talk a lot about the matchup, obviously, with Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald Leader, who is leaving her job with the Herald Leader as the UK football and women's basketball beat writer to take a teaching position at the University of Kentucky. So I think this may be her final assignment. So we'll talk with her today. Steve Jones is the radio play-by-play voice for Penn State. We'll get a bit of a scouting report on the Nittany Lions. And then it's Tuesday, and that means Larry Vaught will join us. And that'll be the lineup for today, always presented by Sleep Outfitters. You can interact with us via Twitter, @LeachReport. Email, leachreport@gmail.com. Or you can also give us a call, and we will chat about Kentucky and Penn State today. Let's get right to the Wildcat news of the day. It's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. It's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. First New Year's Day bowl in 20 years for Kentucky. The last time they won on New Year's Day was in the Cotton Bowl in 1952. And I think there's kind of an interesting connection through New Year's Day and 10-win seasons, which Kentucky could achieve with a victory today. And it involves the quarterback position. The quarterback in 52 and the win over TCU was Babe Parilli, one of the greatest football players ever at the University of Kentucky. The second and only second quarterback to ever lead Kentucky to a 10-win season was Derek Ramsey. That was 1977, a season that's been referenced a lot this year. And Ram developed a friendship with Babe Parilli through Derek's time at the University of Kentucky. So Terry Wilson today could be the third Kentucky quarterback to lead the Wildcats to a 10-win season. And Derek Ramsey was one of the guys that Terry Wilson talked to when he was making the decision to come to the University of Kentucky. So interesting connection through those three guys and through, again, the New Year's Day and the potential of a 10-win season this year for the Wildcats. And our broadcast crew, we talked about this on our show last night and just among ourselves here, that we think Terry Wilson could be a big key for Kentucky today. It's a Penn State team that likes to bring a lot of pressure. And so if you do that, that means you're going to be playing man-to-man in the secondary, which is defensive backs with their back turned to the quarterback. So Terry Wilson might get a chance. Not as many teams have come at him that way since really probably the first month of the season, out of respect for his running ability. And if Penn State plays the way it typically does, they'll come after him more like some of those teams did early in the year. Also, Terry Wilson has looked really good in the practices leading up to this bowl game. Part of the reason is that he has his legs back. He's fully healthy. Got dinged up over the course of the season. Kind of rallied late, and we saw him play two of his best games against Middle Tennessee and against Louisville. Now, obviously, Penn State's a much stiffer level of competition defensively. But I was watching the run-through yesterday, and Terry really threw the ball well. Hit some deep balls, which he didn't always do with regularity during the course of the season. But he hit some against Louisville and looked good throwing them yesterday in practice. So I think it's a matchup where Kentucky's got a great shot to get out of here with a win. It's a hot day, so if one team could significantly win time of possession and keep the other defense out there for a long time, could be a big edge. So I think if Kentucky can run the ball effectively, whether it's Terry or Benny, but how Kentucky handles the Penn State aggressive defense is going to be one of the early storylines, because Nittany Lions had 100 tackles for loss this season, and we know that Kentucky's not a team that plays well from behind the chains. So that's one of the storylines to follow early in this game. On the other side, how does Kentucky handle the running of Trace McSorley from the quarterback position? I've been told that it's a comparable situation to Mississippi State, and Kentucky certainly defended Nick Fitzgerald well. McSorley probably not as powerful as Fitzgerald, but maybe a little more elusive. A couple of other quick notes here on our Wildcat News of the Day, and you can find the links to the stories that we talk about on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Bill Green of 24/7 Sports came out with a report yesterday that he says he's been told that Vince Merrow has signed a new 3-year deal at the University of Kentucky. And he's been a big part of this, along with his lifelong friend Mark Stoops, and getting this program built to this point at Kentucky. Of course, one of the big storylines, Benny Snell pursuing the all-time rushing record. He's 107 yards today to pass Sonny Collins. Cal joined us for a segment on the Bowl show last night to talk about a big win over Louisville. He raved about the defensive confidence his team is getting, starting with Ashton Hagens guarding the opposing point guard. Cal said that he's gaining confidence defensively, and it's giving the whole team confidence. Guys are playing more confidence with on defense, and it's bleeding over into their offense, making plays that they didn't think, or no one thought they could make. Cited Tyler Hero as a guy who's gaining confidence defensively, and that has helped his offensive confidence. So Cal sounds very excited about what his team is doing right now. They're going to practice early today so they can get together and watch the bowl game. He said they've taken about 3 steps up the mountain, but have 50 more to go. And the league play is going to be a really brutal league schedule this year. Starts on Saturday down at Alabama. Asked him about P.J. Washington last night. Said he thinks P.J. could be one of the 4 or 5 best players in the country if he brings it for every minute he's on the court with regularity. And that's the thing that they're pushing P.J. to do. So very excited and confident John Calipari. He also talked about he had a chat with Mark Stoops yesterday about what the football team has done and wishing him luck. So it's a real team spirit there within the UK Athletics Department. So that gets you caught up on the Wildcat News of the Day. We're going to get to a break. Our show is served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Jen Smith will join us when we come right back to Orlando, where it is game day for Kentucky and Penn State.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome back to Orlando. We're at Camping World Stadium and in our UK Network broadcast booth coming to you with the show today. And Jen Smith joins us from the Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com. Jen, you're headed off to inspire young minds at the University of Kentucky in the journalism department as a instructor. But so is this your last gig?
This is my last gig. I was going to make it Twitter official after the game. New year, new challenges.
Well, good luck. We'll miss having you on the UK beat, though.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I mean, it's been 20 years in journalism, and I am not sure what I'm going to do with myself. But they're trying to start a sports journalism program at UK, and I'm really excited about the idea of helping to get that off the ground and create next generation sports writers. So, today's the last game.
Well, you, Benny Snell, Josh Allen, you're all playing your last game today.
You know, it's funny. Stoops was giving me some grief during practices this week about, you know, being my last go around, and I was like, well, no pressure then. Maybe you need to get a win.
Give it right back to him. Good for you. Well, let's talk about what you think some of the more interesting storylines are to this game today, beyond obviously the pursuit of the record for Benny Snell's high on everybody's list. But what else are you most interested in following today?
I'm sort of intrigued by, you know, how aggressive Penn State's defense is. They've you know, they're among the best in the country at tackles for loss and sacks. You know, I think a lot of this game will be played in the trenches, and, you know, it's going to all come down to what the Kentucky offensive line can do to stop the Penn State defense. And I'll be curious to see, you know, just sort of how they react without Jordan Jones on the other side of the ball. I think that, you know, true freshman in a really big game in a really key position against a quarterback who, as Cass Daniel said, is like another Johnny Manziel in his mind. I think that's going to be sort of an interesting thing to watch and keep looking at.
I think it's really interesting that these guys are all playing in the game for Kentucky, starting with Josh Allen, who obviously a lot of guys in his position would be watching this game on TV somewhere today and not here playing in it, and not, as I was saying on the air last night, riding in a go-kart with a little kid from the Boys and Girls Club of Orlando, you know, a few months before he's going to make tens of millions of dollars. So I think it's interesting, I guess, statement about the way this particular, how close this particular team is and the way these guys feel about each other, that it was important to Josh and Benny and Mike Edwards and Munchie and all these guys to not even think twice about playing.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of them even really considered not playing. I mean, you know, I think that they all talked to their families and sort of decided to kind of wait a little bit to make that announcement. But it's funny because at SEC Media Day, C.J. Conrad made a comment about how the thing that really, you know, in SEC Media Days, everybody just sort of says these sort of throwaway, easy to print kind of stories. But C.J. said something that really stuck out to me, you know, and at the time I didn't know it was going to be this, but he said that this team is not only full of leaders, it's full of leaders who are the best players on the team. And that was the thing that really set apart this team than any other team. That it wasn't just guys sort of leading artificially. It was guys who were, you know, as CJ put it a couple days ago, Josh Allen is still the guy who's practicing hardest out on the field before this bowl game. And other younger players see that, and they're trying to build this foundation. And I don't know that any of those guys, you know, they're genuine, pretty genuine guys, and I don't know that any of them would have felt right, you know, sort of leading the younger players if they weren't willing to sort of, you know, walk the talk that they said to start the season. And I think those have been sort of key parts of the success of this team this season.
We're talking with Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com. What have been some of your favorite stories to cover or to write around this particular team in season?
The Josh Pascal story really hit home for me. I had a malignant melanoma on my leg when I was 21 and in college and editor of the college paper at the time. You know, the idea that, you know, seeing him go back out on the field for that game, you know, in play and tackle and just the crowd roaring and, you know, knowing the stuff that he'd been through because I had a similar situation. I think that one really hit home for me, you know, just from an emotional standpoint. And then just sort of watching this team sort of fight through the battles of emotions. I mean, this has been an incredibly difficult emotional season for this team. The Marco Shemwell story, the Josh Pascal story, you know, John Foreman is still battling cancer right now, and he's out on the field practicing every day with the team, and his voice is one of the loudest coaching voices you'll hear on the field when you're watching practice still. You know, just sort of watching all of those things develop and watching this team sort of grow and mature. You know, I mean, I almost sound sort of maternal in a way, and I'm a mom, so I guess that's my perspective. But just sort of watching them grow up and sort of deal with things that life throws at you and still sort of stay together has been, you know, sort of fun to watch this season.
Jen Smith with us at Jen Herald Leader on Twitter. We'll take a quick break and come right back. It's the Leacher Report. Jen joining us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline here in Orlando. We'll be right back.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Back to the Kentucky Branded Hotline. Jen Smith with us from the Lexington Herald Leader. Before we continue on the football theme, Jen, you also have covered Kentucky women's basketball, and they've gotten off to a great start. They begin league play later this week. How much upside is there for this team?
I think there's tons, and I think it's because freshman Ryan Howard is you know, one coach described the summer to me, described her as a Audia Mathis, but bigger. And I sort of, you know, rolled my eyes because coaches tend to sort of be hyperbolic. But she legitimately, you know, she's second right now in freshman scoring behind Valerie Still for her freshman season and, you know, ahead of Audia Mathis. And she's got an incredible amount of upside. And, you know, this team is sort of going as she goes, and that enables players like Macy Morris and Taylor Murray to really sort of play, be role players and do things they do really well instead of being forced to do all of the scoring and the heavy lifting. So, you know, I think they're going to have an incredible season. SEC play might be a little rocky to start, though. They're going to have to go on the road to Mississippi State, which is a team that's been to the finals the last 2 years, and they're going to have to go to Tennessee, which is a top 10 program. So, it'll be sort of interesting to see how they maneuver through the first week or two of SEC play.
Back to the football game today. Have you talked with any of your fellow writers on the Penn State side to get a feel for what the key stats or storylines will be for Kentucky to win the matchup with Penn State?
I haven't talked to those guys a ton, but, you know, just gauging by the questions that have been asked the last couple weeks on both sides, you know, something I wrote on Kentucky.com today is just the fact that Trace McSorley and Miles Sanders, who are their quarterback running back combo, and Terry Wilson and Benny Snell, obviously Kentucky's running back and quarterback combo, are 1 and 2 in Power 5 in rushing the football, like combined. So, you know, I think it's going to be about stopping a rushing quarterback and, you know, containing the run game as best they can for both sides of the ball. Both schools are sort of eager to get a 10th win. That seems to be the, you know, the closing remarks from the coaches, that those are the things that they're trying to get to this sort of elite level 10th win. For Penn State, you know, that's sort of a normal, you know, that's sort of their standard to get to 10 wins. For Kentucky, it'll be, you know, a huge thing that hasn't happened in a very long time. And would sort of cap what's been a really special season for Kentucky.
This team wanted to try to get to Atlanta. They put themselves for the first time in a position to do that in the game against Georgia. They're here at a New Year's Day bowl game for the first time in 20 years, could win 10 games, et cetera. And the formula obviously has a lot to do with recruiting and developing. But I think a part of it is going to be for Kentucky to be in this kind of spot is to have some, you know, exceptional talents, some I don't know if it's once in a lifetime, but once in long time kinds of players. And they have had that on the defensive side with Josh Allen, and then on the offensive side, one of the arguably best running back ever in Benny Snell.
Yeah, I mean, you asked about the storylines, and I sort of went the emotional direction, but the sort of fun direction is, you know, watching these guys break records that I'm sure a lot of Kentucky fans thought would never be broken. I mean, you know, today we have an opportunity to see if Benny Snell can get to 107 yards and break a record that's older than me. I mean, that's a pretty significant, you know, accomplishment, you know, and it's just one of many goals that he's hit. I think he's got over 15, you know, Kentucky records that he's already broken. He's a 13 or 15, I can't remember now, but you know, and then this would be sort of the cherry on top of his Kentucky career. And he's done all that in 3 seasons, you know, and not even running in the first, not being a running back in the first 2 games of his freshman year. You know, and then to see Josh Allen break all these records, that people sort of laughed at the idea that he would be able to get that many sacks or that many sacks this season or in his career is, you know, in hindsight, I mean, it's pretty amazing what he's been able to do this season. And then to go on this awards ceremony run.
Jen. Got to run. Unfortunately, sure. We're up on a hard break. I'll see you here in the press box later today. Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Halfway home on this edition of the Leach Report. We'll be right back.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
We're in Orlando for the Citrus Bowl matchup between Kentucky and Penn State. Our show is served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. If you are wondering about the officiating crew, first piece of good news is that it's not from the Pac-12. It's a sore spot for Wildcat fans. It's an ACC crew today that will work the Kentucky-Penn State matchup. Steve Jones joins us now. He's the radio play-by-play voice for the Penn State Nittany Lions. And, Steve, this is a matchup that last occurred 20 years ago, also on New Year's Day. And Penn State had a couple of outstanding defensive players, and LeVar Arrington and Courtney Brown. And I was just looking at some numbers. It looks like this defense has started to come on late in the season for Coach Franklin.
Well, there's no doubt about it. That's been one of the keys to what Penn State's been able to do. They've been able to get really good linebacking play down the stretch. Micah Parsons, the true freshman who has only started one game this season, has stepped in and played really well for them at times. And that's really helped them a lot. They've been very smart about how they played defense. It's an area of the football team in the preseason time that only had three starters returning, so there's a lot of concern about how good Penn State would play on the defensive side of the ball. It turned out they played very well because the last six, seven games of the season, they were really good. And I just to give anybody perspective, Josh Allen, whom I just think, I mean, Jack Ham and I were watching tape of him. Holy mackerel, you can see why he's a top 15 pick. Well, he had 14 sacks. Great. He also had 18.5 tackles for losses. Yet he's not the leader in this game for tackles for losses. Vitor Gross-Matos had 20.
Yeah, and he's a guy on the edge for the Nittany Lions and a defense that has accumulated 100 tackles for loss and I think it's 43 sacks. Is it a big blitz team?
Yeah, they'll blitz a lot, Tom. I think you'll see that. Now, obviously, when you're looking at a quarterback like Wilson, he's a very difficult guy to blitz, but they will try to get some pressure on him because you want to force some mistakes here or there. And it's not just pass blitzes. You'll run blitzes as well. Because I think the Kentucky running game is about as good a running game as I've seen all season long. Snell's a big-time player. That center-guard combination you have is really, really good. And so Penn State's going to have to do a good job of gap integrity in this game. They're also going to have to do a good job of setting up their linebackers to make some plays. And they're also going to have to make a couple of plays on the backside off the edge, because I think they feel that they can get an advantage doing that. Now the question will be, as it plays out, do they get that advantage?
Tell me about Trace McSorley, winning his quarterback for Penn State, which is saying something. For Kentucky fans that have only seen maybe parts of games or clips, what does he do well? What can he hurt Kentucky with?
Confidence without arrogance. That is Trace McSorley. He is a highly confident player. But that's what he is, a highly confident player. There's not an arrogant bone in his body. And he just makes plays, Tom. He goes out, he throws the ball really well. He's accurate throwing the football, and he's an excellent runner. But he picks his spots to run. He's not a guy that's going to carry the ball 25, 30 times in a game. He also, this break for him has been incredible because he's a completely refreshed player from the end of the season. I talked to him 2 weeks ago, Tom, and I said, "So physically, how are you feeling? You haven't played for 2-3 weeks. He goes, "My body feels so much better." So that's what this break has done. I'll bet if you ask Kerry Wilson the same question, he'll probably tell you the same thing.
Absolutely, and yeah, he has looked fresh. And, I mean, in playing leagues like the SEC and the Big Ten, if you're a running quarterback, the defense knows they're not necessarily anything dirty, just they're going to try to hit you hard and make you pay for every time you decide to run.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, it's not that you're a running quarterback, and it's not like the old option days of Jack Milburn, the guys like that who took shots all the time. But in these RPOs, quarterbacks are going to carry the ball. Quarterbacks are going to take shots. And I think that's one of the amazing things about college football. Just think about how few starting quarterbacks, Tom, are out. In the NFL, every time you turn around and you get to this part of the season, and you have like a third of them out for the season. I mean, no offense to Blake Gabbert, but he was the starting quarterback and not Marcus Mariota. Now, that league's different. It's got a lot more speed, big-time hits. But quarterbacks on the college level take a lot of hits, and you don't see them out of games. And I think that's amazing.
Who are some other names that Kentucky fans should be aware of in this matchup that could play a key role?
Miles Sanders at running back would certainly be one. K.J. Hamler at wide receiver would be another. Hamler is a game breaker. He's the one that broke off that 93-yard catch and run against Ohio State. He's a burner. Then you've got a guy like Pat Klein with true freshman tight end who's become a major target for McSorley because he's become a dependable target for McSorley. And that's been a big plus for him. Because you're always looking for reliability defensively. Parsons is a guy to watch. Gross-Matos is a guy to watch. I think Sharif Miller is. Then when you get to the secondary, Amani Oyewariye. I'm sorry, Tom. This is his last game, and you got him.
Maybe they won't throw it his way since he's so good.
Look, he's from Tampa, so his family's here. Just do what we do. One play by Amani.
That works. Kaywood Ledford, the longtime legendary Kentucky broadcaster, he told his partner, Ralph Hacker. Ralph was telling me this story one time. They were playing back in the 70s, 80s. They would play, the Czech Republic in an exhibition game or something. And Ralph was working on all the pronunciations, and Kaywood said, "Oh, don't worry about it, Ralph. Their mamas and daddies aren't listening." Well, in the age we live in, Steve, they are. Anywhere in the world.
Well, that was the old Johnny Most thing. Remember the NBA champion would play in the McDonald's Classic back in the 80s. So Bird, McHale, and Parrish played the McDonald's Classic in Europe. Okay? So Johnny Most, the legendary Celtics announcer, is doing the game, and they're playing some team from Yugoslavia. And he goes, 10 over to 12, back to 11, 11, and it's good. Well, it's a good shooter. Just did the numbers.
Maybe we'll try it. If worse comes to worse, we'll try that today for your cornerback. Let's wrap it up with the thought about what this – they always talk about the motivation in bowl games.
Sure.
I know on the Kentucky side, they're all about trying to get a 10th win. And this is not the place Kentucky's used to being on New Year's Day. Penn State's played in a lot of these kinds of games. How strong do you think the motivation is on the Nittany Lions side?
Well, same story about getting a 10th win is actually a big motivator here. That has not happened here since Joe Paterno in 80, 81, and 82. In fact, we're going to the site today of Joe's last bowl victory against LSU. But that hasn't happened here since 80, 81, and 82. And 82 is a national championship year for Joe and Penn State. Well, that's a big motivator. But I always laugh about the motivation thing. It's a game, okay? Is this a meaningless day for Tom Leach? No, it's a game. You're going to go out and put together a Tom Leach type of performance because that's what you do. And the same thing with the players. I mean, once you get smacked in the mouth, you better look around and say, I better play today. So that's why I always laugh about these meaningless games of, what's the motivation, the whole thing. Guess what? You don't want to get beat. Okay, losing stinks.
These guys are competitors at heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, I appreciate you jumping on with us on a busy day. We'll see you over here later.
Hey, Tom, I look forward to seeing you.
Steve Jones, he's the radio play-by-play voice for the Penn State Nittany Lions. I was on his show earlier in December, and I got him to confirm that there are no Crispin brothers on the football team. And you guys, I'm sure, obviously remember the Crispin brothers from the Penn State basketball team that came into Rupp Arena and won, I want to say it was back in 2001. Or actually early 2000. That's going to do it for this segment. One more to go, and that'll be Larry Vaught joining us when we come back. Steve Jones coming to us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline here on the Leach Report from Orlando on game day at the Citrus Bowl. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Welcome back into the show. We go to the Kentucky Brandon Hotline and bring on Larry Vaught from VaughtsViews.com. You can also read him at LEX18.com. And, Larry, I just saw a tweet where you caught up with our good friend Craig Yeast, the new coach at Kentucky Wesleyan, to talk about a Kentucky guy playing in a New Year's Day bowl game, which he and Tim Couch and those guys did 20 years ago today.
That's exactly right, and they had a really good time doing it. And I think one of the things that Craig and I talked about was that he never had any guess that when he played in that game back then that it would take so long for Kentucky to get back to another New Year's Day bowl. And I'm sure that was the prevalent thinking because it seemed like Kentucky was everything going in the right direction. And Craig talked a little bit about how special it was to be in a game like that, and he knows how special it is for this team this year. And it's a really nice thing to say about Mark Stoops and the job him and his staff have done.
So true. You and I have talked many times about the fact that, back in the summer, we were optimistic more than most about this team. And we've seen that we, like the blind squirrel, found our acorn this time. And what was it that you think was – what were some of the keys to Kentucky being here beyond the most easy to pick out? What were some of the more subtle things that happened that got this team to this point?
I think they just believed they were going to get to this point. I think even when others tried to convince them that maybe they couldn't do it at all, but I think that they never wavered in their belief. And I think it's just one of those years where a lot of little things became big things. And I also think that when your best players are your, I mean, I know it's kind of cliche to say, but your best leaders, your hardest workers, have your best attitudes, I think it just kind of rubs off. And it's like Josh Allen saying, hey, I'm going to play in the bowl game. I mean, when you have a guy like that that says, I'm doing that, that tells you how important it is. And I think that just trickled down to others. And this team was just really special for that reason, in my opinion anyway.
No, I think you're right. I was saying earlier with Jen Smith that I think it says more than anything, just the something about the bond of these guys. You know, you can talk about, you know, what people like to say, you know, loyalty and, you know, with the school and all that stuff. Yeah, that's all nice. But, I mean, you know, if they weren't as close as they were, yeah, some of these guys would be watching this game on TV today. But it means a lot. I remember there's a guy that Dallas Owens, who we lost much too soon. Dallas actually returned an interception for a touchdown against Penn State when Kentucky last beat the Nittany Lions 41 years ago. And he told me one time that when their teams started to click there in the mid-70s, it was when the players were accountable to each other and the coaches didn't have to get on them or get after them about things, that the players kind of managed those things. Today, Cal would talk about it being player-driven. And that's what you see in this group of guys. They're just a really tight bond, that why it was important for all these guys to be playing today.
That's exactly right. You didn't see many issues off the field at any time, or really from the end of last season until now. They had a couple. When you have that many guys, you're always going to have a couple, but they didn't have many. I think it's also interesting, Tom, that you mentioned that 1977 game, because I've been trying to go back and look. I think now that Florida has won 10 games, I think the last year that Kentucky had a road win over a team that won 10 games was back in 1977 when they won at Penn State.
Wow. Yeah, I'd say you're right. Penn State only lost. That was the only game Penn State lost that season.
Yeah, so, I mean, that Florida win just keeps looking better and better and better, and I think that's, again, another little feather in the hat for these guys that they can hang on that resume. It just got me to wondering, when I went back and looked. I'm not saying I'm completely right, because I could have certainly overlooked something, but I went back and I couldn't find any other than that, or the last one I could find was back in 1977, and maybe the only time, for as far as I could tell.
Maybe so. They beat an Ole Miss team in the 60s that was number one at the time, but if memory serves, they ended up stumbling a little bit. Anyway, let me go on to another topic. This is from a listener, TJ, tweeting in at Leach Report. He says, Benny Snell over 150, we win, under we lose, question marks. I don't think we'll take that. I don't. In fact, he could be under 100 and Kentucky could win.
Yeah, I would say, I think if he goes over 150, I do think Kentucky would win.
I would agree with that, but yeah, I think that part's true.
But I don't think that has to be true, because, I mean, we don't know. I mean, Penn State could go into the game saying, hey, Terry's got to beat us. We're not going to let Benny beat us. We're going to put 12 guys in a box, right? But you can put in there, they're going to do that, and Terry Wilson could have the best day he's ever had at Kentucky. So I'm with you on that. I think Benny will have a good and a productive day. What that'll total out to be, I don't know, and it would certainly be nice to see him get the record, but I'm sure the Benny Snell I know would be, Terry, the nicest thing that would be to see Kentucky get the win.
Absolutely. Talking with Larry Vaught. You can read him at vaughtsviews.com and also at lex18.com. I think Terry Wilson, I wouldn't be surprised if Kentucky wins this game. I wouldn't be surprised if a part of the storyline plays out the way it did when they got that upset over Louisville a couple of years ago, and Louisville had the Heisman Trophy winner, but Kentucky's quarterback outplayed him on that particular day. And I could see Terry Wilson, you know, a fully healthy Terry Wilson now against the team that likes to blitz, his ability to scramble. He could make some really big plays in this game.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, the thing about bowl games, one, or I think there's always two things. One is which team has the most interest in being there and plays with the most intensity. And it seems to me like both these teams are going to kind of be okay there because they both seem to really think this game's important. The other thing is guys have had a lot of time to heal up, and maybe even guys you didn't know were a little banged up during the season are now a whole lot healthier. We certainly know that's going to be the case for several of the Kentucky players, probably going to be the case for several of the Penn State players too, and you never know exactly how much of an impact that's going to have on a game either. But I think a healthy Terry Wilson is going to be a big, big deal for Kentucky today.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see this catwalk in about 50 minutes here at the Camping World Stadium. We were talking with Jeremy Jarman on the UK Network show last night about the game in 2006 down at the Music City Bowl. Jacob Tammy, a good friend of ours, he was on that team too. And I know those guys were just overwhelmed when they got to the stadium and saw a line of fans to greet them probably 100 yards long.
I think I was a little overwhelmed myself, and it seemed a lot longer than 100 yards. It seemed like it was a mile.
May have been.
I don't know. It went forever and ever and ever. So, and I would think it's going to be the same there today because it just seemed like there's a huge number of Kentucky fans there. And I don't know if you got to see or not, but yesterday Vince Mera did make good on a promise, and the young man that you saw the video that got so excited when he got a Christmas trip.
Oh, yeah.
Vince took care of him, had him the VIP pass for practice yesterday. It got him and his dad there where they got to meet all the coaches, all the players, take pictures, take autographs, and they were
cool.
So grateful. I think that was a really cool thing that Vince Mera did. Saw something on Twitter, reached out, and made that young man's trip even more memorable. And then, of course, today the Citrus Bowl is getting a field pass for before the game. So Brody Schaffer and his dad Jimbo will be down on the field before the game.
Wow. Well, that's really neat. And it's always nice if you're a fan of a team that your team wins, first and foremost, is always what you're interested in. But it always makes the ride so much more fun when you know there's some really good folks involved.
It sure does. And Mark Stoops and his staff have done a terrific job of including some special people and everything this time. And so it's been really, really fun to watch. And when you're watching the pregame show, Tom, the Lincoln County cheerleaders from here in Stanford.
Oh, really?
They'll be on the 35-yard line as part of that 200 cheerleaders that'll be out there. So if you're facing the performers, they'll be on the 35-yard line to your left.
Well, there's a group of cheerleaders just down here in front of our booth right now. In fact, there's a whole bunch of them. Some of them are seated, so I'm sure they're probably part of that group. So good for them. Larry, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, but thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
All right, Tom. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll close it out after this timeout on the Leach Report Radio Network. Going to do it for this edition of the Leach Report. About an hour away from the official UK Network pregame show on many of these UK Network stations. Donato's slice of Wildcat history. Former Kentucky basketball player Aminu Timberlake was born on this day. Enjoy the game today and talk about it the rest of the day. Hopefully, a Kentucky win.
The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com.